Okay, let's get started. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. And this may not totally relate to my message, but as I was studying the other day, this few verses here just really stood out to me of how significant they are. And we will weave it into what we're talking about this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 1, God, who at sundry times... Don't you love the King James? I mean, it sounds like something various for sale. You know, you're selling some sundries. And it means at different times. At sundry times and in diverse manners, different ways. How many know God's spoken to His people through many different methods over the years? You know, to me, one of the greatest testimonies of the Word of God, of its inspiration, is your Bible was not written by one man. It was written by over 40 authors over a period of 3,500 years from every walk of life. From kings to prophets to rich men. How about Solomon? Men without a whole lot of money. Men living in rags. From noble birth to birth as a pauper. How about one that was launched out in a boat? You know, in a little boat as a baby. That's given credit for the first five books of the Bible being penned. Moses. And God wrote this book by all these different people over all this period of time. And they all agree with one thing. Man needed a Redeemer. And God sent Him in the form of Jesus Christ. Amen? And has redeemed us from our sins. Now think about it. If we think from now back 3,500 years, we're back to the time of the pyramids being built. Do you follow me? I mean, 3,500 years ago, that's 1,500 years before Jesus. We're talking about Abraham's time. And think about somebody writing a book today that exactly marries to a book written back in Abraham's day. Does that not seem amazing? Yet the Bible is a collection of 66 books like that, that all interlink together, that feed on one another, that bring forth the same message. And you know what? I believe still people are tapping into that same spirit and writing books, not scripture, but writing forth revelatory books that link into that entire thought given to us through the scriptures. Did you follow that? So God, over time and in many ways, gave us the Word. It says, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The Old Testament that you have was all penned by the old time, I don't like the word old time, by the fathers of the past and by the prophets of the past. But here now, the writer of Hebrews, let me bring this out as well. I believe Hebrews is the only book in the Bible, we're not fairly certain who penned it. Of the 66 books we have, I believe we know with some certainty who wrote every single one of them, other than Hebrews. And it's certainly the only New Testament book we don't know the author of. And so as many attribute it to Paul, other Apollos, some Priscilla and Aquila, some Barnabas, we really don't know. But we do know it is inspired. Because what a book of faith, right? So the writer of this obviously knew all these people in the first century church movement, right? It says, hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now get this. I like to put myself back in the time that somebody wrote a book. And obviously the book of Hebrews was written in the first century A.D. And he says here, talking in his time frame, we've always studied what was written in the past by the prophets. But now we've seen Jesus, who is now giving us the message for the end times. Well, is that not amazing? That here are people writing that actually knew Jesus. Wouldn't you like to meet some of the new Jesus? Well, we have people that wrote that had that encounter. And I believe they're showing with us the heart of God in these books. So he says, is now speaking to us by his Son, who he's made heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The one that made the world saved you from your sin. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I'm talking about a carbon copy of Father God. And upholding all things by the word of his power. God's holding all things together by the word. And you think the word can't fix your life? I believe the word is holding together every subatomic particle of every atom, of every molecule in existence. The word, the power of faith in the word holds that this world together. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now follow on this. They're saying in the past we listened to the prophets. Now we've heard personally from his Son. This is the Son that created the worlds. This is the same Son that upholds all things by the word of his power. And what's the next statement he said? This is the same Son that purged us from our sins. My goodness. The God of all creation came and was focused on delivering us from sin. Why then will we go back into that type of existence? Why would we entertain going back into living out of the world when we've been made heirs of all things along with Jesus? Now, the next few verses I don't want to take time to cover because he's comparing Jesus to the angels. To which of the angels did he say, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool? Do you follow me? In fact, in Hebrews, the first several chapters, he's comparing Jesus to other great men, to the angels, and he says there's no comparison. How many know you can't compare Jesus to anybody else or any other creation, any other created being? But I want to go over to chapter 2, verse 1, because then he says, therefore, in other words, because we serve this God who purged us from our sin, we serve this God who upholds all things by the word of his power. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. God puts it in our responsibility to hold to the things of the word. To hold on to what God's revealing to us in our time frame. See, in the first century church, they had an assignment to take the gospel into all the world. Do you follow me? To make people aware of the cross and what's going on. Well, I believe most of the world's heard about the cross by now. But we're to teach people now about the kingdom. That's our assignment. And about what God's doing in these end times. And there's a prophetic release taking place right now in the church like I have never seen. Now, from the time I've been saved, there have been prophets. Now, to tell you the truth, back in the 80s, we didn't hear from the prophets a whole lot. And even in the 90s, we heard about them some more. But in the 2000s, Kim Clement came on the scene and others, we started hearing about from the prophets a lot. And I'm telling you, right now, we're hearing from the prophetic like never before in my lifetime. And I think never before since the founding of the church. In fact, I believe we're probably hearing from the prophets now more than from any other point in all of history. Why? Because the prophetic is coming forth to announce a move of God like the world will never experience. Again, are you following me? Like it's never seen and we'll never see again. A phenomenal move of God. How many know John the Baptist was a prophet? And he came around announcing this one who he was not worthy to untie his shoes or tie his shoes. He was not worthy to follow in his footsteps. This Messiah coming on the scene. Because Jesus was coming, a prophet had to come along to announce this manifestation. Well, now we're about to have the bride of Christ really, let me restate this way. The body of Christ, the church, the fullness of the Godhead manifested in the form of a gathering of the saints. And the prophetic has to come in advance of that announcement. And it's happening now, like never before. But it says, beware lest you let these things slip, lest you lose your grasp on what God is saying. See, in the first century church, there was a lot of persecution. And they had to really work to hold on to the revelations that were brought to them. Plus, they didn't have a Bible like we have today. They had an Old Testament, but not the New. And they had to work to hold on to what they were revealed. Now, we have a Bible. We've got the Word going to every corner of the earth, through every form of media you can think of. But now what we have are distractions. Distractions on every front, not to mention the demonic attacks that have always hit the church. And there's a need to make sure you don't let slip what God is doing, that you don't get focused. Remember the carousel prophecy? That you don't get focused on what's going on outside of your area of influence, but you stay focused on what you can address. And you don't let those things slip. He goes on and he says, well, let's read verse 3 because it's a warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, I skipped a verse, didn't I? Go to verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Don't neglect what God's doing in your life, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them the witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. How many know God showing forth his miracle power like never before? I mean, you could go onto any YouTube site and type in miracles and watch what God's doing around the world. On Facebook, the testimony is coming forth of the resurrections of the dead, of the lame walking. The videos are out there of documented proof of God moving is there like never before. Don't let your fire for God slip. But also, he says here, with signs. Now, a sign can be a miracle or it can be an event. And this morning, we're going to show a video that deals with prophetic declarations about the death of Billy Graham. Do you follow me? And that could be considered a sign to indicate a segment of time. And God talks about times of the reconciliation, the times of restoration of all things, right? I believe we're coming into a time of great outpouring and opportunity, but also a time of great danger for us to be tempted to let things slip. Your hold on your walk of holiness, your hold on your determination to be a giver, your hold on a determination to walk in the love of God, these can all be threatened by the pressures around you. Do you see that? Now, thank you, Jesus. I think there's another verse I wanted to go to. Let's go to chapter 4. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who's that high priest? That is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't let things slip. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus became flesh and experienced the temptations of humanity. yet he didn't fold to them. And I believe he's letting us know we don't have to fold to those either. Hold to your focus with God. For let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Now, we've always defined grace as God's unmerited favor in the church, right? You know, God giving you what you didn't deserve. Well, there's truth to that. But unmerited doesn't mean deserve, it means earned. We've messed up the definition of that word. Unmerited means unearned. There's nothing you can do to earn anything from God. But you do deserve it. Why? You've been made His son. Amen. Not through works, but by faith. You didn't earn it, but now because of who you are, you deserve it. But the throne of grace is more than you know, God giving you some tidbits to hold on. The throne of grace is God's provision to fulfill your calling. And Jesus, who was tempted, He went through every trial of humanity, yet without sin, has made available for you supernatural provision and power, a grace package to stay the course in His calling. So as you're going through these transitional times, these times of great demand upon your time, your focus, your energies, know you can go to God and say, God, I need grace right now. You may say it in the form of, I need strength right now. I need wisdom right now. I need energy. I mean, it felt like you needed energy lately. I need assistance. I need finances. I need healing, whatever. That's all part of coming to the throne of grace. That's part of your grace package. And in these times of great transition where you feel like you're being stretched to breaking point, it's time to go to the throne of grace to help in your time of need. Now, we as overcomers always want to be self-sufficient. I can do it. In Dale Carnegie, they taught us to say, I can do it. I can do it if I put my mind to it. And we learn to think, if I'll just focus, I can do it. Well, you're coming to a time, no, you can't. Sorry, Dale, you missed it on that one. I can do it if I do it, if I go to the throne of grace instead. Do you follow me? And he says, come boldly there. In other words, come, develop the routine of when things are stretching you to the place you can't take anymore, learn to go to that throne of grace rapidly, boldly, and say, God, here I am. You brought me here. I believe I receive what I need to go to the next level, what I need to overcome this situation, what I need to maintain my sanity during the season that I'm in. And 2018 is going to be a year of the saints running to the throne of grace. That's my declaration. Amen. I believe that's what God has spoken to me. That we may obtain mercy and find grace, the provision, to help in the time of need. I believe all of the old time prophecies, all of the prophecies given even in the New Testament regarding the end times are pointing to the season we're now entering into. A season where the saints realize I really do need Jesus. Not just to be my Savior, but to be my everything. My everything. Amen. And, you know, we sing songs about Jesus being my everything, but then we just believe Him to forgive us of sin. He wants to be the everything. And this is the year of a transition of the bride. Moving to that place, they let Him be the everything. Now, I've got another video this morning by Lance Wallnau regarding the death of Billy Graham and some prophecies that went forth I want to show. Are you guys ready with that? And in it, he refers back to a prophecy set of prophecies given in 2006 or 7 by Benny Hinn and Mark Sharona. So you're going to, some people don't like Benny Hinn. I've been to many of Benny Hinn meetings. He is a man of God. And carries phenomenal giftings. So whether you like his hair or not, get over it. Let the anointing have its way. You follow me? And when he talks about money, well, so does the Bible. The other one is Mark Sharona, who Mark Sharona is a Bible, to me, a Bible scholar, a kingdom intellect, a brilliant man. And they too start prophesying about the death of Billy Graham. And so, and then when they're done, Lance Wall now starts prophesying about the time we're in now. So let the Spirit of God speak to you in this video. Amen. Are you ready? Let's go.
I want to read to you something, which is the Kim Clement prophecy, 2006. The Spirit of God says, even as Billy Graham dies, I'm going to raise up two of him. I will raise up two Billy Graham, says the Lord. God said, your soil surrendered him to me, and so shall your soil receive him. For the Spirit of God says, I will raise up two men. No, wait, one man and one woman. Again, from this soil. And God said, evangelism shall take place through the news media and the arts and in the business arena, for I'm going to cause my servant Billy Graham to come into the place that he has spoken of all his life. The Spirit of God says, I will receive my servant Graham, and God says there will be a graduation. Everything he spoke about, he shall experience. Do not be sad, for in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the day that this king dies, Billy Graham, and yes, he is a king, says the Lord, Billy Graham, in the day that he dies, the eyes of the prophets shall see the Lord high and lifted up. The prophetic shall indeed gain a new dimension of insight and sight. Please do not be sad, people. God says when King Billy Graham dies, there shall be a new level of sight and dimension of sight that the body of Christ has never, ever seen. Did not say, but is he in this denomination or isn't he that? God said, two shall be raised up who shall become two nations and forces. Excuse me. And those that shall come from the world shall thank you, and they shall say thank you. Now, I got a really exciting word for you on Billy Graham, but I'm not going to deliver it yet. I'm going to let Benny Hinn share this. Now, this must be from 2006, because right when Kim prophesied this, I see a young Benny Hinn and Mark Sharona suddenly on a TBN broadcast, and I want to play this for you. And it's kind of, you know, it's a ghastly YouTube of a television program. But we don't care about that. We don't judge it. We watch it. And here we go. Let me see if I can get this for you here. Hang on. That is Benny. Let's see what Benny has to say. Did I get this right? Come on. Oh, my gosh. Why isn't he talking?
What you just said is so right on. But you've got a little more to you. I can see.
Okay, watch this.
No, I
defer to you.
But I can see it all over you.
We are coming into perhaps the most significant day in church history. And there are a number of things that are going to begin to converge. When you talked about Luke and the signs, yeah, there's going to be a convergence of the signs, and with it, there is going to be
you're talking about an acceleration.
An acceleration, and they're all going to overlap. And when that happens, there is a company of people that
are you hearing this?
When it happens, there's a company of people that have been hidden in God for a season. But they're coming out of hiding,
yeah,
and they're going to stand in the courts of Pharaoh, and they're going to challenge the spirit
like Elijah
did. Yeah, the political correctness.
They are going to challenge the powers of Egypt.
Amen.
And the earth is going to see a 21st century manifestation of the demonstration of the Spirit, not from one or two, but from a many-membered body. God is going to have the church of his dreams.
Amen.
All the institutionalizing we've done to the church, all the things we've done to try to make it our thing instead of God's thing, God has had the church under wraps for 2,000 years. Maybe that's why there's 2,000 cubits between where this generation is and the ark, because God wants a church that's been hiding and prepared for power by severe test, severe trial, severe tribulation, every single season, and they feel like they're not going to be used, and it's too late, and it's all over. And that's the company that's prepared for power. They've been like John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey, strange food. They had to learn how to glean from the word when they were just getting little pious platitudes from preachers all around the country. And they're being weaned away from everything that is contradicting to the powerful truth of the word of God. And that company is coming out of hiding. They're going to cross Jordan, and they're going to move into a manifestation of power.
All right, now I'm going to go back to this in a second. But it's only 3 minutes long, but it seems longer. They're going to cross over Jordan. Now, in a moment, Benny Hinn's going to say the sign that this prophecy is going to happen is when Billy Graham dies. That was in 2006. I think a lot of people thought he was going to go earlier than that. But he went all the way to 99. Now, Billy Graham was unique as an evangelist. Now, remember this. When Elijah died, as he went up, his mantle came down on Elisha. Elijah is a type of, let's just say that when great mantled saints go up, they release something into the earth. This doesn't happen with every saint. I see Christians running around after everybody's mantle. Forget that, but there are certain ones that do carry mantles. Elijah was a prototype. And Billy Graham clearly had a mantle on him. And the proof of that was that he had gone over to 185 nations he had preached in. He was different than other evangelists because he was actually the governmental evangelist. He was one of the few men of God who met with presidents and heads of state. Remember when Russia wanted to prove that it was open to democracy? They wanted Billy Graham to come because he was a symbolic governmental evangelist. He's the statesman evangelist. And we have not seen this since. Now, Billy Graham's mantle of the statesman evangelist is about to be released upon the body of Christ. There are, and I just was on a phone call right now because I'm getting ready to go over into Eastern Europe and Slovakia and Prague. And I'm asking the Lord, why am I in England? Why am I in these places? And the Lord said, because he's raising up sheep nations. Now, catch this. This is a kind of complicated thought, but you guys are going to get it. The United States as an economy, Satan wanted to take it down. But God put Trump in so that the American role in the world could be preserved and extended longer. And the nations that are the weaker nations and the churches around the world that are weaker can get stronger to occupy their governmental sphere. America is a $20 trillion GDP nation. The only closest rival we have to ourselves is China, but China's only $11 trillion. And then underneath that, you have Japan at 4.8 trillion. And then it's Germany with 3.4. And then England with 2.5. Two compared to 20 trillion. Why has God given America the ability to have that level of strength? It's to maintain the global order from the globalists who are trying to termite that system down. For it's like a demonic desire to smash this Western civilization and create a whole new game plan where power is going to be redistributed. And God put a veto on Satan's plan and sent a wrecking ball with a Cyrus anointing into the White House to begin to dismantle that spirit of manipulated mind control and political correctness. And right now, the Billy Graham anointing is coming upon a new generation of believers. And listen, I'm prophesying this. Heads of states are going to open up their doors to the gospel. And I'll tell you why. We hold a $20 trillion position, China $11 trillion. And then I said, underneath that is like Japan with $4 trillion. There are 170 nations in the world right now Remember, Billy Graham went to 184. 170 that have less than $1 trillion currency. And I'm telling you, something's going to happen. God is going to go to the least, the last, the lost, and the little. It's like David was raised up in the tribes of Judah. Jesus came out of Nazareth and out of Bethlehem. Cities that were not of the great consequential cities. In these nations, these smaller nations, there are, I believe, at least 140 of them are going to have serious shakings that are going to produce principled leaders like Cyrus Trump, not Christians necessarily, but the Christians in those nations that have been praying are going to come into influence with their Cyrus leaders, and the Cyrus leaders are going to align themselves, and they're going to be favorably disposed towards the strength of the American economy, and Donald Trump's faith and outspoken support of Jesus Christ has authorized something for the Billy Graham statesman mantle to go and open up arenas and stadiums and coliseums around the world, where emerging new leaders are going to align with the gospel, and they're going to allow Christians to preach the gospel, and there's going to be a great global harvest, and nations are going to come to the knowledge of the Lord. And this is happening during this time period of the shaking that's going on in the United States. And I'm telling you, that's what's coming. Now let's go back to our Mark Sharona prophecy. They cross over Jordan, and the timing of this move of God.
On one or two is going to be power on multiplied thousands and thousands.
And may I add, the sign will be Billy Graham's death.
Wow. No, I'm being raw here. Wow. You are talking about a people in hiding, just like Elijah was in hiding in Jericho.
Right.
But when he came out, he challenged the prophets.
Exactly. We're right into the courts.
Right there. And the Lord, the same spirits.
Oh, exactly.
Those are the same principalities.
And the Lord said to me in 89.
Sorry, yeah, 89.
He said, when Oral Roberts and Billy Graham go home, will be the key.
Wow.
It'll be the sign of the beginning of the greatest revival on earth.
Wow.
Oral is home.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy is about to go home.
Yeah.
And when he does, I'm telling the whole church, get ready. Paul, can we go there?
Yes.
Get ready. And you got to hear Billy Graham's last message to America. This is powerful.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises.
99 years old.
I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world.
For God so loved the world that he gave his own independence.
Man, you can feel the anointing on that, can't you?
I see how God's hand guided me. When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross! It's got to be for everyone!
It's going to happen, friends. There it is. It's going to happen all over the world.
Our country's in great need.
Yes, it is.
A spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on the wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
And he loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins. The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must be.
Wow. It's a confrontation that all must face. So this is an epic moment for the body of Christ. When I was up here at Karis Bible College yesterday, and I was looking out at like 800 students, and it's interesting because most of them are like over 40. It's a different kind of school. And I was impacted by the realization that these are adults that are seeking the call of God. They want to maximize the remainder of their life to bring forth fruit. And I said, how interesting it is that here we are, and Billy Graham just passed. Some of them gasped because they hadn't heard the news yet. But in his passing, I could see clearly that there was an Elijah type transaction and something coming down. And I'm praying for you and me right now that we are going to be receptive to the fresh thing that God is doing. We're going to move with the new thing that God is doing. We are going to be bold and we're going to be outspoken regarding the truth, but we're going to be winsome and filled with the Spirit and filled with the love of God. We're going to be able to see a fresh day of courage confronting error and lies and deception. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be giving an expansion of the prophetic insight, as Kim said, that we will begin to see the crossing over of Jordan. And as he said, it's in business and it's in arts and it's in entertainment. And I believe that many of you have been wondering what it is you're called to do in the next season. You're called to go in and take territory, occupy. You're called to advance. There are Esthers who have to have permission to be covert until the time that they're unveiled to a nation. And there are the Mordecais that are out there that are actually right now helping other people achieve their destiny. And every one of you is important in the process. America is shaking. But the Spirit of the Lord is not letting America go, because there is yet a purpose and a destiny that must be fulfilled. And we must be stable as a nation so that the world order that wants to tear apart can be held together long enough for the dormant, latent potential of the body of Christ to be activated, not just to build bigger churches and have more ministries, multiplying followers, but to see the ordinary believer become an extraordinary influence within the sphere of God that they're assigned to, so that major cities and these 150 or 60 some nations are going to be having a witness of the gospel of the kingdom. And that means it's going to be more than just the soul winning move of God. It's going to be a move of God that is going to alter economies. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not just blessed is the person. Blessed is the nation. And we've got to live right now in the tension of the fact that we have not pushed the issue that Christ is not just for a soul. He's for a city and he's for a nation. And these nations that are going to turn to the Lord are going to see economic prosperity. They're going to see the reversing of curses. They're going to be demonstrations of what it looks like for Goshen to exist while other nations are coming under the judgments of entertaining foreign deities and rejecting the gospel. And I really believe kings are going to come to the brightness of his rising, and his rising is coming on the body of Christ. I pray now, Father, for everyone that's watching this broadcast, that as my brother Mark said, as my brother Kim prophesied, as Benny Hinn had made that utterance in 2006, that now the sign having come to pass in the fullness of times, that there is a mantle of boldness and clarity and purity and statesmanlike anointing for the proclamation and articulation of the kingdom of God in business and in government and in arts and in media. And I'm prophesying that in those areas where there is resistance to the reformation God wants to bring, remember this, revival is for the individuals. Reformation is for the institution. Revival is for the believer, because it's a coming to life again. Revival is the power of revelation coming alive again within God's people. And this is the hour when the eyes are going to be opened again in the body of Christ. We're going to begin to see and hear the gospel in a fresh way. Remember that Jeremiah prophesied, Daniel interceded, and Daniel's intercession off of Jeremiah's prophesying opened the gates for Cyrus to come into Babylon. And when Jeremiah prophesied, Daniel interceded, and Daniel's intercession brought Cyrus into power. And when Cyrus came in, he started decreeing things. 70 years were decreed for the captivity of Israel in Babylon, and then the shift came with Cyrus. 70 years ago, Israel became a nation, and then Cyrus Trump came into office, and when he did, in the 70th year of Israel's nation state status, the President of the United States released a decree. He decreed that Jerusalem will have an embassy in it from the United States of America, acknowledging Israel's right to exist and Jerusalem as its capital. Immediately when that happened, the whole nation went into a turmoil. The United Nations, that great bastion of a potential Antichrist manifestation, had to have a vote. And there was only like a handful of nations that stood with Israel's right to exist, revealing the intense anti-Semitism that yet exists around the globe towards the children of Abraham. And yet the Spirit of God caused Donald Trump, the 21st century Cyrus, to release a decree, just as the old Cyrus did. But what did the decree release? It authorized Ezra to emerge. I'm calling forth Ezra. I'm calling forth Ezra. Ezra is the teaching priesthood. It was the Levites. It was the ones that had knowledge and revelation on the word of God appropriate to their day. They were the Issacharian Levites. They were the ones that had a prophetic mantle to see how the word of God applied in a fresh move of God. When Cyrus came in, Ezra was released. And I'm telling you now, get your eyes off of the political debate going on, because what's going to shift the nation isn't going to be Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump isn't called to be the spiritual resuscitator of America. That's the job of the body of Christ. And right now, the Ezra anointing is being released. As Billy Graham has gone up, that Ezra mantle is coming down. It's the statesman teacher and it's the statesman evangelist is about to be released. And the word of God is going to go forth with fresh clarity to the body of Christ, and the church will arise. Remember, Ezra moved with a remnant. It was 50,000 Jews returned to Israel. The rest of them didn't want to do the move of God. They weren't ready for the move of God. They were too comfortable in the world that they were in the spiritual state that they were in the theology they were in. But Ezra, actually, when he began to teach the word of God, the Bible says the Feast of Tabernacles took place. There was a double portion outpouring, and the book began to come alive. This is the Feast of the Open Book. God is going to reveal and break seals on his end time plans for the body of Christ. And once Ezra began to preach with the remnant coming in revival, as he began to see the reformation of the house of God and the move of God happen with the remnant, it authorized Nehemiah to come into existence. Right after Ezra, Nehemiah, after the Ezra reformer of God's house showed up, the Nehemiah reformer of the nation's boundaries showed up. Nehemiah is the next anointing that's going to come. That's the secular reformer. That's the reformer in the secular sense. Right now, you've got this mangled moment with a youth being manipulated by leftist media in order to create a backlash regarding the issue of guns in America. And instead of it becoming a pure expression seeking a resolution, it's once again a manipulated mind control march of leftist organizations and Soros funded entities and media in compliance in order to create the manipulation of emotion in America. But God is going to do something to break the spell off of millennials as the Ezra anointing is released, as this Billy Graham moment is completed and statesmen anointed evangelists are arising. There's going to be a move of God with the Nehemiahs coming forth to reform the culture, and campus uprisings are going to happen. We're going to put the wall up. Nehemiah built the wall, but the wall isn't dealing with Mexico in the Old Testament. The wall was dealing with the definition of the boundaries around the greatness of a nation that had collapsed that needed to be restored again. And America is coming into a restoration as Ezra and Nehemiah comes up, and then we'll see the millennials. We're going to see the walls go up, and we're going to start to put a block on the academic Marxist leftists that are dominating the college campuses, and a revival is going to hit young people in America, and there's going to be young evangelists raised up, young like Ben Shapiro. Check out Ben Shapiro. Check out the CPAC speech by Ben Shapiro. It's incendiary. It is laser-like. It is outrageous. And you need to listen to it, because the millennials are going to find a way to push back on the manipulation of their hearts and minds. And God's going to do a youth revival in America. And it's being triggered right now by this passage at the age of 99 of the great statesman, Billy Graham, in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you guys believe that? I know you believe this. Now, you know that Facebook sometimes does not always post and share all these things. So I want you to share this aggressively. Share this broadcast. Share it, share it, share it, share it, share it. Because I'm not promoting a product. I'm not promoting I'm sharing about my buddy Mark and my departed prophet friend Kim and Benny Hinn, who I've never even met. So let this word go out, because God is releasing a fresh anointing on you right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus, there we go. What'd you think of that? Are you seeing the prophetic rising up this year like never before? And what a powerful word. And so much that we've been talking about in here, I think, confirmed with stuff that's coming out. That whole Ezra thing and Nehemiah thing that we spent 5 months or so last year talking about, however long it was, that's coming to pass. Lance also on his Facebook site mentions that Billy Graham was 99. And there's 9 gifts of the Spirit and 9 fruit of the Spirit. And God's going to bring both of those into fullness, I believe, in this next move. He didn't mention that, I don't think, but he mentioned, 70 years since 1948. We've talked about that. President Trump was 70 years old when he was elected. And something about Inauguration Day was his 70th birthday or something like that, or I remember exactly what it was. 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days, I guess, is what he was. It was amazing, the connection there. I was thinking about Billy Graham as well. And I started thinking about, he was 100. How many? 100 is a biblical number. He was 99, but actually, if you look at his tombstone, it's 1918 to 2018. And I started thinking about 1918 because that's a monumental year. 1918 was the end of World War I. Really the initiation of the League of Nations. The Treaty of Versailles. It was a world-changing year. And Billy Graham was born. Does anybody know the date of the end of World War I? Because we celebrate it. November 11th. 2018. And they signed the armistice at 11-11-11-11. So I thought, when was Billy Graham born? I wonder what his birth date was. His birthday was November 7th, 4 days before the end of World War I, so in that same time frame. So the war that was to end all wars was the year Billy Graham was born. And now he dies 100 years later, nearly, with all these 70s lining up with Israel and Trump and everything, all this prophetic declaration coming forth. And I believe at the release of the greatest revival that could potentially end wars that we'll ever see. At least you understand till the rapture. Also, Karen told me before service or the break, that Billy Graham, his funeral was shown on both Fox and C-SPAN. The entire funeral with all the preaching and everything. Hallelujah, God's taken over some things. And as well, if you've heard, he's now lying in state at the Capitol Rotunda. The fourth citizen, non-president, non-political leader, only the fourth person ever to have that done. Two of them were police officer slain in 1998. The other one was Rosa Parks. He's the fourth one. But many presidents and other political leaders have lied in state. Does anybody know the first person ever to lie in state at the Capitol? Henry Clay. You've been studying. Henry Clay was from Lexington, Kentucky. The first person ever to lie in state. And so, that's important to us, isn't it? And I believe God's about to have a major revival come forth. I liked where he's confirmed what we've heard other people talk about and what we've talked about in here, in this ministry for years, that God's about to do an unveiling of a hidden church. A church buried beneath all the glitter of the church of platitudes. And human comfort. There's an actual church of the word that God's about to release that's going to go and step into that Ezra anointing. And of course, I'm certain you know, well, what was the office? We know he was a general. We know he changed the world. What office did Billy Graham fulfill? He was an evangelist. He was an evangelist of evangelists. And I believe God's about to release an evangelistic anointing on the church to bring in some of this harvest. Now, as well, what was I going to say? Thank you, Jesus. I was about to say something. I thought I better finish my statement, and I forgot what I was going to say. Billy Graham is the first ever religious leader to be honored after his death like this at the Capitol. And God's doing something. Amen? And I'm believing for the release of this move of God. Now, if it happens this year, wonderful. If it doesn't, I'm still believing for this move of God. I always need to make that clear. But you can see there's a shifting taking place every year to initiate a release of the power of God for this revival we're believing for. And it has to happen. You know why it has to happen? Because it's in the Word. And God, who cannot lie, declared the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen? I got a whole sermon to do yet. We've already been going 51 minutes, 52 minutes. The thing about the hidden church, I think Hank Kuhneman mentioned that, or maybe it's some of the things that we haven't shown yet. I've got several of these lined up to show you yet, but we've only got so much time on Sunday morning. And they're all agreeing with this unveiling, with this miracle release, with what we've talked about for years coming into manifestation. And I'm so glad I didn't quit. When are you going to quit? Well, I don't know, probably 50 times over the past 30 years. I feel like you follow. Not, I'm exaggerating, understand. But I'm so glad you didn't quit. I'm so glad that you didn't take a buyout or decide, you know, I've heard enough of that or this faith thing's too hard. I'm so glad you said, I really believe this in the Word and God's going to do it. And listen, you've been through some battles. You've been through some offers of the enemy to take you out. But the battles were there because the enemy saw what's on your life. Saw the potential on your life. I know what I was about to say. I knew if I kept rambling, it would come back to me. I don't think he mentioned it in this video, but there's a Billy Graham video out there where an interview right before he died. And they asked him if he had, I mentioned this Thursday night, if he had any regrets in his life. Anything, basically not regrets, what would he have done differently in his ministry? And he says, if I had it to do over again, I would have spent more time in the presence of God and less time doing crusades. Now, I don't know if you've heard this before. For a long time, there was somewhat of a split between Billy Graham's movements and his evangelism and the charismatic movement. There wasn't really a marriage of the two. But sometime back, probably 30 years ago or so, those that were in the charismania heard that Billy Graham got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't making a big public message out of it, but he got Spirit-filled. And I believe he spent much of his last years caught up with God. Do you follow me? I understand you can be an evangelist, do a great work for God without being filled with the Spirit. But when you are, there's much more even available. And I've been teaching Thursday nights, and it was Sunday morning, on the 7 P's of fulfilling your destiny. Remember, purpose, plan, provision, all the way through. And our purpose is to know God. And our plan is to fulfill His high calling on our lives. whatever it is for you. And most Christians get more focused on plan than they do purpose. God, what would you have me do versus God, I just want to spend time with you. And I believe Billy Graham came to the realization he had done that at times. Because when you're the most famous preacher in the world, your schedule's filled as full as you want to make it. He could have done a crusade every night. He could have done four or five a day. The doors were wide open. Come to our church. And when you have that draw, it's very tempting to try to answer all those demands of the people. But his heart was, in his latter years, I wish I'd have said no to some of those. That was just me doing that. And spent more time being filled with you before I went to those. Amen. And I'm telling you, this end time move of God is going to be a church, not trying to just fulfill a call, but wanting to know Him. And spending time in the secret place, spending time with God, and then going out with the power of that relationship into their assignment. Amen? I want to say something. This is not meant as a criticism. Billy Graham was one of the most phenomenal preachers ever to live. But he was not a miracle minister. They were not miracle crusades. They were evangelistic. Can you imagine what a church would do with his anointing for evangelism? That Baptist attitude, you follow me? And the miracle power of God being poured out. I want you to see now, do you remember the two people they mentioned that were going to die before revival took place? Oral Roberts, miracle ministry, like none before. Billy Graham, evangelistic, I feel the Holy Ghost. Wow, anointing to bring in the harvest. And those two mantles being left behind now, marrying. And what God can do with that on a body of Christ submitted to go into their callings. I'm ready. How about you? Well, I want to think I'm ready. But every time I go to God and I say I'm ready, He says, no, no, no. We're going to shift a few more things here we got to work on. Be open for God making those shifts. Did you enjoy this today? I feel more fired up for what God's saying and doing at any time in my life. And don't get caught up in the distractions. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your move. We thank you for the season you've got us in. And we believe that you're raising up a church without spot, without wrinkle, without division, without strife. And we decree this is a church of just that. A church where there are none sick, none in pain, none in oppression, none in any way hindered by the forces of the curse, a church of total restoration. We thank you. We give you praise. Spirit of God, I pray for divine appointments for evangelism and the miraculous in the lives of each one here during this following week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you of prayer service tonight at 6 o'clock, 6 to 6:30 is fellowship.